Estás escuchando a Boat Radio.
Anyone who lives by the sea, anywhere in the world, is only too aware of plastic. Walk along your local beach and you'll see drinking straws, cotton buds, bottle caps, cigarette butts, and all manner of garbage along the shoreline. Visit any port or harbor and you'll see crisp packets and candy wrappers floating on the surface. It's a global problem, and it's one to which a Mallorca-based team may have found a solution. The Seabin is a clever device that sucks in waterborne rubbish and traps it in a mesh, ready for collection. And the really amazing thing about it is that it does all of this passively. No one has to lift a finger. Dr. Sergio Ruiz Halpern is head of marine science at the Seabin Project, and he's with me now. Good afternoon, Sergio.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for having me again.
Great for you to be here. Now, tell me how the Seabin works.
The Seabin is actually a very simple contraption. It's literally a bin that you put in the water, and water passes through, activated by a pump that makes the water circulate. And in the Seabin, you just put a catchback that has a very fine mesh, so the water is allowed to pass through, and any floating rubbish or debris that's in the surface of the water is just trapped in the catch bag, and every so often you just have to empty it out and put a new catch bag in. That is pretty much as simple as it gets. That being said, there's a few engineering challenges that the Seabin team, especially co-founders Pete Zaglinski and Andrew Turton, have had to overcome over a number of years with a lot of trials and errors and testing and brainstorming and different environments, different conditions. So yes, there's it's been a long road after a simple idea, I guess.
Wow. And how do you power the pumps?
Oh, the pumps right now are plugged into the general electrical system of a given port or marina. But in time, once we have a product that is working all around, we want to power them renewably. So we're thinking of ways of looking at reducing the power consumption of the pumps and putting solar panels, aeolian or microturbines, a whole renewable system for the Seabins.
Okay, so you say it's a simple concept to make it work, yet it's kind of revolutionary at the same time because there's nothing like this.
There's nothing like it. There's other initiatives to clean the waters of rubbish, but one that is passive, small, and effective, we're pretty much the only ones, yes.
So what can you collect? Anything?
Anything. Anything that is floating. And that is small enough, or actually big enough, to small enough that it goes into the basket, and big enough that it's retained by the mesh will remain in the catch bag.
So okay, so any kind of debris that people throw from the shore or overboard from a boat.
Exactly, anything that comes either from land-based origin, or sometimes even marinas get influx of debris that's coming already from the sea, that's been a number of days, months, years, can be collected by the Seabin. That's correct.
And another sight that we commonly and unfortunately see at marinas is oil slicks on the water. I mean, often from fuel from boats. Is that something the Seabin can clean up?
Yes, we are right now spot on to the research and development of using oil absorbent technology. We're looking for partners and doing some tests on how to retain that before it exits the pump, because oils and detergents are lighter than water. They actually do stick to the surface. So the Seabin, once we get a few of the problems sorted, is the ideal device to actually trap oils and other types of diffuse pollution.
Wow. So who actually invented this contraption, the Seabin?
Andrew Turton had the simple idea of saying, well, if there's bins in land, why can't we just put one in the sea? After a number of years working in the marine industries, he's a highly reputed boat builder for all the yachting, all the racing. And he had to, in the maintenance of the boat, spend a lot of time in the water, and he was constantly pushing all the debris away. So he started small and simple, just with, you know, buckets. And after some time, Peter Glinski, who was a co-worker as well in the racing industry, came, and they both started developing it, and they quit their jobs, and they built a prototype that they could that really worked, and they could take it onto a crowdfunding campaign that happened about a year and a half ago. And that's what really made the project take off, and they got enough money to keep the project going for up until now. And they were really lucky on how they made this invention open to the public, and how visible it was, and it became viral. And the support that we've been getting from a lot of people everywhere in the world has just kept us all going, pretty much.
And at what stage did you become involved?
I came on right after the crowdfunding campaign, a bit serendipitously. Like, I met Pete on the street through a common friend. And I had just come back from Australia, from living there for a few years, and him being Australian from the same town that I was living at, we just started a conversation, and we ended up having this common interest. I had just come back, was looking for things to do, and it was a fun project, and he needed someone with my background and my expertise. So started very slowly, just some collaborations at point in times. And then around summer of last year, it became serious, and we started developing the other really important aspect of the Seabin project, which is the education and the research that we want to do using the Seabins.
Okay. So the crowdfunding campaign got things off the ground. Where are you at this stage with product development and sales and starting the Seabins in various locations?
Right now we are at a really exciting time. About 2 weeks ago, we installed the first demo Seabins in all our pilot partner locations. So these locations are France in La Grande Motte, Port Adriano here in Mallorca, Porto Montenegro in Montenegro, Helsinki in Finland, Princess Hamilton Marina in Bermuda, and the Cabrillo Isle Marina managed by Safe Harbor in San Diego. So we got six demo Seabins that we've produced in-house with our own hands out of fiberglass. And they're all being trial and tested in all these different locations, and we're getting great input and great feedback from our pilot partners in how the Seabins are actually working. And I went, after a week of being installed, to Port Adriano, and the Seabin was Port Adriano is a very clean marina, and the season hasn't kicked off, but you could already see it was collecting like small pieces of wood, of styrofoam, some plastic wrappers, and we're at this stage right now on the commercialization of it. Our industrial partner is beginning to produce the commercial ones, but we want to take things one step at a time, and we want to make sure that these demo versions are working solid for about 3 months before we start sales, which will begin around August, mid to late summer.
This is Boat Radio Live.
Online and on 105.4 FM.
Bonnie Las Charters is Mallorca's number one experience.
Bonnie Las is a 57-foot converted fishing boat. She was built in 1949 as a herring ring netter in Scotland, and now she's set up for the Mediterranean. Apart from just relaxing in the sunshine on the deck, there's paddleboarding and any kind of exploring you can imagine up along the north coast of Mallorca here, quite often with Maggie the dog in tow as well. Bonnie Lass Charters is unique because no charter is really the same. We work really hard to make it the perfect day for each individual client. To be able to go out and enjoy the day with the guests on board is just fantastic.
For more information and to make a booking, visit bonnielasscharters.com.
And now we're back with Dr. Sergio Ruiz Halpern. He's head of marine science at the Seabin Project. So just to pick up where we left off, you said you're at an exciting stage of development. You've got the Seabins with your pilot partners for 3 months.
Yes.
And what are they telling you so far about what they're picking up and how the bins are working?
We've had some really good feedback, a couple of problems. We've actually already redeveloped the catchbacks, for example, and that was like a very quick and swift moment because we realized that the material that we were using had been okay for the in-house tests, but when we started using it for a longer term, it wasn't ideal. So we provided new catchbacks for the pilot partners, and those are working fine. And it's also great to see how they have really picked up on the way we like to do things, and how they're getting other people involved. So, for example, in Helsinki, they're having a program to have handicapped people come and see how the Seabins work and actually take part in changing the catch bags and analyzing the debris that is getting in there. So in San Diego, for example, the initial moment that the Seabin was put in drew in a lot of the surface stuff, but now it's not getting that much because it's been cleared up. So it seems to be working very well all over.
I had a question, if you don't mind me,
of course,
cutting in. Is it possible to make them any size? I mean, could you have, this sounds ridiculous, but bear with me a second, I just whacked my microphone. If you had an enormous sea bin, like out in the middle of the ocean, like big enough that you could have somebody like housed on board the sea bin, could you have one that big?
Give us 10 years and we'll have it. It's in our plans for sure. We started short, simple, straight to the point. The Seabins are designed so that right now they don't take up a lot of space. Space is precious in a marina.
Yeah, sure.
You need some infrastructure because we need to have a land base close by to power them. Mm-hmm. And they're also of a dimension that the workers at the marina can easily change the catchbacks, and you don't need a vehicle and a crane or anything like that.
Sure.
But for sure, the next stages of development of our products is to go out of the marina and into the open ocean. So we'll start with smaller embayments, maybe even a smaller sea bin for boats, like if big yachts that do have the space want to have a sea bin or two and put them in the bow and the stern of the boat when they're out at sea. We can for sure do that. And we are also aware of the power of the ocean, so it's not as simple as just doing a bigger one and putting it out there. We need to be very careful on how it's going to be anchored to the bottom. Is it going to have people on site, if it's that big, as you say, that are taking care of it? What's the infrastructure of having a boat coming and collecting the trash? There's a lot of things to think about, but for sure it's in our heads to slowly move out of the marinas and into the open ocean.
And is your plan to start making the sea bins themselves from the plastic that you harvest from the ocean?
Yeah, it's a bit of a dream that we have, because we're very invested in the concept of circular economy. So there's probably already enough plastic around that we could, if we're able to harvest it all, the amount of new plastics that we're producing will decrease dramatically. And that's a huge saving in electricity, in the extraction of fossil fuels, and all of those things. So for us, it'd be really good to demonstrate that we can actually produce a sea bean from the plastics that the sea beans themselves are collecting. But we not reduce ourselves to that. We can produce any other items, and we're actually looking for the right partner and the right collaborations to be able to transfer them the plastics that we're collecting, and they do all sorts of other materials. There's a lot of great initiatives out there with people using marine-based waste in the production of anywhere from shoes to sunglasses to clothing, lots of things. So yeah, it's in our spirit. We're actually asking our pilot partners to store all the rubbish that the sea beans are collected, so that we can then later on decide what we want to do with them, which is another part of the sea bean project.
And is analysis of what you're pulling out of the water, that's an important part of what you do, right? You want to measure the percentages, what types of plastic, how much the plastic has broken down in seawater and ultraviolet light, sunlight and stuff like that, yeah?
Yes, I don't know how detailed we'll be able to get, but we'll try to cover as much as we can. And there's two main reasons for that. One of them is, of course, we need to monitor how the sea beans are working, and we are the first ones being interested in knowing how effective the sea beans are. But there's also a higher motive, which is using, hopefully the sea beans will have a high spatial coverage global. So any marina that wants a sea bean can buy a sea bean and have it. And if we are able to convince them to use a bit of time to collect small pieces of information, we can actually build a large database of the plastics that are in the surface of the water around the world. And that's a very valuable information for in the decision-making process of how to manage the waste at sea.
Yeah, and you can map it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are other products that we want to showcase as well in our website later on. Have a small map with where the sea bins are and how much rubbish they're collecting and what's the impact of this rubbish collection.
Is there a way to stop this problem before it starts, so to speak, as in try to teach people not to put this rubbish and other things in the ocean in the first place?
I think you just touched on a subject that Sea Bean Project is really keen on. So the sea beans are a partial solution to the problem of marine waste, but it's not the solution and it's not the only solution. So the Sea Bean Project identified this quite early on. So we're also devote a lot of energy and time to using the sea beans as a vehicle for awareness, and it's a great tool actually for that, because everybody's very enthusiastic in seeing how they work. So we have a educational program that we're disseminating together with the installation of the sea beans, for example. So all our pilot partners are working together with schools that are going to go to the marina and are going to see the sea beans in action, and the kids are actually going to physically see the sea bean, change the catch back, collect the data, analyze the plastics, and are going to learn all about this. And hopefully they'll go home and they'll tell their parents, and they'll do small but very meaningful changes in the way they consume the plastics. And this educational program is not only designed to have an interaction with the sea bean, there's further lessons about the plastic problem worldwide that the children can use, or the teachers can use as in-house lectures. And that's the bigger picture. That's the real solution, changing the way we consume plastics.
Yeah. Reusable straws. I have two daughters and they like drinking out of straws, right? So If anybody knows where I can get hold of reusable straws, please tweet Boat Radio, at Boat Radio. Just look for Boat Radio on Twitter and tweet us, or send us a message on Facebook, or email us hello@boatradio.net. Sergio, is the answer, like, ultimately to basically make this waste plastic that's all in the sea, make it worth money? Oh, I should incidentally say that we're on Periscope. We're live on Periscope as well. Isabella Kratochville is busy right next to, in fact, she's filming me now. You can see me. So, yeah, have a look. Go to Periscope and search Boat Radio. Is it, you make it worth money. You make it like a crop that people can harvest and they can make money from it. And then people will use sea bins, or they'll stop throwing stuff in the ocean in the first place.
I have called the way the sea bins work as a mining for plastics, because we can recover them. But I think it's a bit too early to answer that question, whether that is the answer or not. Of course, valorizing waste is a way of not calling it waste anymore.
Yeah.
But on a global scale, this distorts market as well.
Yeah.
And there's all sorts of checks and balances, because then people can start... It liberates you from producing more things, because then you can turn them into a good that has value. So you're not stopping the production of it in any way. Yeah. So I'm unsure as to how good or bad it is to turn it into money. For the things that are already out there that require time, energy, and an investment to get them, recover them back from the oceans, maybe, but it can potentially have side effects. So there isn't a clear cut answer to that.
Okay, sure.
It's open for debate.
You've sort of touched on the massive scale of this problem, how much pollution there is. How do you feel about trying to fight that? Because it's a gigantic challenge.
One step at a time. It's the only thing we can do. And one thing I like about the Seabeam project is that we don't focus on the doom and gloom. So our imagery is about how our oceans and our coasts should look like, not how they look. And I think that's a very powerful message. And it's one that entices people to, when they are in those places, instead of being frustrated and just thinking that you can't do anything, they go up and pick up three pieces of trash and bring them home back with them. It's a gigantic task. It's one that we'll probably not resolve in our lifetime, but you need to start somewhere. It's like planting a tree.
In practical terms, how much does a sea bin cost?
We don't have an answer to that one yet, but it is an affordable solution.
Okay.
So marinas hopefully will have the budget, because compared to similar solutions, it will be cost effective.
And how would I go about ordering one if I want to buy one?
Just go to our website and fill out our sales form, and we will get back to you.
How many have you sold so far?
Well, the pilot partners will get the first series of sea bins for further testing, but we haven't sold anyone yet, because the pre-sales period hasn't started. We anticipate that by the end of July or August we'll start the pre-sales, and I think we're going to be quite busy again. There's interest from a lot of places.
And also local businesses could sponsor them, right?
Yes.
So, you know, a local bar on the quayside here in Port de Soya could have the whatever, such and such bar, sea bin. Right?
Yes, absolutely. There is no... I mean, we have a... Of course, we have our target and our obvious clients, but anybody that wants a sea bin, is obviously... is able to buy it. There is a bit of a vetting process. We don't want to sell sea bins to anyone, and we're going to be a bit picky at times. So we need to evaluate the conditions of a given marina to see if the seabeam is going to be a suitable device in that marina itself, for various reasons. One of them, if it's going to be an effective spot to put one, we don't want to sell something that's not going to work for them. And secondly, if they already have some sort of a track record in their efforts or in their engagement with the environment. I mean, things are changing quite a bit, and I think marinas are learning that they live off of the environment, and they're doing a lot, but and they're putting little steps in place, but not all of them are like that. So we will prioritize places that already have some sort of a environmental history.
Okay. Well, good luck with the product, and thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for letting me see the Bonnie Lass and come to Port de Sawyer on a beautiful day like this.
Sergio, thank you so much. You're listening to Boat Radio Live. I'm Mike McDowell, and we are broadcasting to you, as Sergio just said, from the deck of Bonnie Lass in the beautiful Port de Sawyer, Mallorca.
My name is Matt Rutherford. I am the only person in history to have circumnavigated the Americas nonstop. I've sailed alone across the Atlantic twice. I've crossed the Pacific. I've sailed through the Bering Sea and around Cape Horn. I understand the challenges you will face trying to accomplish your blue water dreams. And I know how important it is to have the right boat. Whether buying a blue water boat or selling your blue water boat, Rogue Wave Yacht Sales has the experience to make that happen. Email me at matt@roguewaveyachtsales.com.
Our aim at Street Invest is to put a trustworthy adult into the lives of street children, so that they can support them in creating the most positive paths for their lives in the future. We work around the world, working on the street with the children where they are. For such a large group of children, the amount of funding available is tiny. Really, the funding that keeps organisations like Street Invest going comes from individual donors. Street children are the most abused, neglected, violated children, yet they are also the most resourceful, responsive, and resilient children that we could have the honour of working with.
For more information or to make a donation, visit streetinvest.org.